Hello there, and welcome to Happy Place, the show that prefers to talk about beginnings rather than endings, which means that although it's the final episode of season two, we'll be back with more episodes very, very soon, I promise. I'm Fern Cotton, and today we're meeting someone who, over the last 4 months, has motivated me, pushed me to my limits, and made me sweat. It's Chessie King, one of the UK's leading health bloggers and fitness instructors at Fit.
I've had every comment under the sun, and it's awful. I was standing next to one of my friends who was a little bit smaller than me, height-wise and size-wise, and someone commented going, "Isn't it embarrassing that it looks like you've eaten your friend?"
Now, a running theme on the show is, of course, social media and all its good and bad qualities. And that chat comes to a head today because Chessie is something of an influencer herself, although she doesn't like that term, as you'll hear. But she has lots to say about using Facebook or Instagram in a healthy way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now though, on to the show. I did one of your fit workouts this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
What, a cardio one?
I did a 25-minute intermediate cardio.
Wow, what a way to start a Monday,
yeah,
hey?
Yeah, I feel good.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, dreary out
yes,
today.
It's not very nice.
And I thought, oh, I really can't be arsed. And then I was like, no.
I've got this.
Yeah. I'm going to meet you today, so I'm going to choose you. And it was brilliant, so
thank you.
Such an easy, good way to
It really is. Do you
feel
do it
better?
You do it in the living room?
Right here, right in Amazing. That spot there.
Oh, you
the
sweated
mat goes
right
down,
there.
It goes on the Apple TV, I'm away.
Oh, I love it. I honestly, when I... So I do my own just to test them, and I'm doing it with Matt, my boyfriend, and I'm saying the same things to him as I am on the telly. So
bossing
I'm like,
him around.
Matt, you've got this, come on, keep breathing. And I say it exactly the same time as I do on the telly, so I'm like, it's like auto-programmed in my head.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. So you are a personal trainer and now also a body positive influencer. Is that a correct bit of terminology to use around you?
I prefer to use role model.
Just
because,
nice.
Yeah, I feel like everyone has an influence, even like my Uber driver who just dropped me off, he had an influence because he was so lovely and he influenced me. So I feel like that term has been thrown around.
Am I right in saying it sort of happened accidentally? So you were going to, you sent your, one of your friends a picture of you,
yeah,
and you were like, wait a minute, why am I sending my friend a very authentic picture of myself, yet I'm not posting that on social media?
Exactly, yeah. And by then, I mean, it was 2 years ago, social media was just a sea of perfection. And
yeah,
I just couldn't relate to anyone. And I'm a tall girl, I'm 6 foot, and I've always been aware that I was bigger than my friends. I was, a lot of my friends thought that I was, like, they said that I looked like their mum when we were away.
That's nice.
I know, and it really makes you feel good. Ooh. At 17 or 16, being told that they were too embarrassed because I looked too old
wow,
to be standing next
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, but you could go into the nightclubs, they couldn't.
Exactly,
so.
Never got ID'd.
Wonderful.
But yeah, and it did happen accidentally, just because I never really knew what social media was. I was using it just as everyone else was two
yeah,
and a half years ago as a, oh, I'll put a filter on that and Valencia stay there. I uploaded three photos, exactly the same photo with different filters on, not knowing anyone could see them.
Mm.
And then about 2 years ago, I was like, actually, I want to use this platform. If I'm going to use it for anything, I just want to use it to help people and just to spread a word that maybe a smaller charity can't spread, and use that voice for just, yeah, spreading positivity and, yeah.
So before you made that mental switch that you were going to be
much more authentic, and I guess also, you know, more, you know, sort of vulnerable, because you are putting yourself out there in that way. And I try and do a similar thing. Before that, did you feel the pressure that you had to post, you know, perfection and an unrealistic version of life for you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That, I think in this age, I mean, 2017 was probably the first time I actually shared real life. And I think I was just programmed to, because I saw it everywhere, I was programmed to show the best things and the best side of my life. And I think that that was just so embedded in me that I was like, well, no one wants to see me looking horrible. No one wants to see me without makeup. And that was in my head. And now I think the more I share, the more it helps me. And the more I can realize that I can actually just share everything, and hopefully people go, oh, Chessie's got it. Or like, even things like losing my hearing. So I've got a hearing aid in, and I lost my hearing suddenly a year and a half ago in just my right ear, and things like that. Two and a half years ago, I'd be like, oh, no one wants to know about that. And I'd feel really lonely about it. But using social media, even just spread messages like this, is something that I find it really does help me. And it grows this community that I never really knew was there.
And also, you know, did you previously have a fear of what people would say? So if you had posted a picture of you with your hearing aid, or a picture of you where you didn't think that you looked perfect, or, you know, we use that word perfect, and it doesn't exist, obviously, but whatever you deemed to be appropriate for you to post online, were you subconsciously fearing the reaction if someone said something to you that was derogatory? Would that have thrown you, made you feel bad about yourself, affect your self-worth, do you think?
I think back then I was quite vulnerable to it, and I think that you only grow with age and maturity, that actually you don't care about those comments. And obviously we get a lot of it. We open ourselves up to the criticism, and the more your social media platform grows, the more opinions you're going to get. And I just try now just to breathe when I see a comment and just delete it, out of sight, out of mind, block them, and just think, actually, it's not me that they're trying to attack. Unfortunately, they are sad in their own lives.
Yeah.
And that's so unfortunate.
Well, that's the important thing, because I'd be lying if I said, oh, that it doesn't ever affect me. You know, anyone can say whatever they like about me, and I'm absolutely indestructible. That is an absolute lie. I am a highly sensitive person, possibly in the wrong career, because you can't be highly sensitive in the public eye. But I am, like, ridiculously sensitive about everything in my life. And sometimes I do feel the effects of both sides. I feel them if it's someone saying something that I feel is unjust or actually irrelevant but mean. I'm happy to take on constructive criticism. If someone was to say, I thought that show you did could have been more this, or in that podcast episode I would have appreciated this line of questioning, you know what, it might hurt for a millisecond, but I'll go, yes, there is something to be taken away from that, thank you very much. Yeah. Make a note. But if it is, you've got a big nose, you look like dog shit, whatever, and it is a sort of vapid comment or whatever, you do personally have to, I think, take the responsibility, and here's the hard bit, to make that shift in your head to go, this isn't an attack on me. Like you said, this is somebody who is suffering themselves. And they are using me as a conduit, or, you know, whatever person on social media, to try and make sense of it, to try and vent it. And I think the more we can also talk to young women and men, but I think it really affects young women, about that change in perspective, then we can be more authentic online.
I mean, I've had every comment under the sun, and it's awful, but someone said that I was standing next to one of my friends who was a little bit smaller than me, height-wise and size-wise, and someone commented going, isn't it embarrassing that it looks like you've eaten your friend? And I was like, oh,
but when
wow.
Did this? I'm going to get angry.
Oh,
warning.
She's gonna get
I'm
going to
get angry. When did this become the norm, like an acceptable thing, that it's a free-for-all to say what you want?
How do you deal with social media abuse online? What is your, like, three tips to anyone?
I don't have tips.
Okay.
Tips. Because I'm not...
reactive.
That's why I'm talking to you. I'm trying to get it from you. I'm not there yet. I, being highly sensitive, still do get thrown by stuff. And I think I have some rules. I have to have rules. Well, I'm a Virgo, and also I would just lose my mind if I just let myself do whatever I wanted. So I try and have times where I just don't go on social media. I have times where I really enjoy looking at it. You know, I follow people like you and Bryony Gordon and Paul Nobel and people that have very positive messaging online, and that boosts me. You know, I that's when I love social media. I feel connected and I love it. But the times when it feels anything but that, it just sets me on edge. And one of the things is if I look at people that do portray perfection, part of me still buys into it, and I know I have to stop that happening. So how do you feel about people, you know, they're not bad people, there's nothing wrong with it, but how do you feel about people supplying a very perfect view of life on social media?
I just feel like they haven't quite got that bravery to then be vulnerable. And it took me a while. I mean, I was back then, before I started posting photos of my belly hanging out or the bits on the back of my legs, which before then I was like, oh, I hate that. And my mind would bully my body. I would speak so nastily about my body. And I think it was back then, like you said, when I sent a photo to my girls group of me after a Sunday roast, my tummy was hanging out, my flies were undone. And I was like, hold on, this is where I could make a change. This is where all my friends were going, oh my God, same, look at me. And I was like, right, I'm just going to post that. And it did take bravery back then. Now I just literally post it and I'm like,
you're loving it.
Here we are, like, this is everything. And there's nothing I wouldn't post, like, about my body that will help people. Obviously, I keep a lot of stuff personal in my personal life because I feel like there is a barrier, but with my body, if it helps people, and I know it does, that's where I go, right, okay, I'm sure there's one person out there that will go, right, Chess has got that, I can embrace it. And I think people that are still editing every single bit of their body and putting these filters over their photos, I do feel like they will hopefully, and it might take time, they'll hopefully open up and go, right, this is me. And people, and I'm sure it's the same for you, people meet you in real life, people meet me in real life and go, you're exactly the same as you are on Instagram. And that is so precious because, I mean, 2 years ago, I was so worried that I filtered my photos, I would make myself taller, I would never edit my body as in I'd make myself smaller. But my friend, and this is something that I probably haven't spoken about, but my friend about 3 years ago was so, so self-conscious, and she edited every bit and she went, you know, you can make yourself taller on photos by stretching them. And I was like, amazing. So I was 6 foot back then, I was stretching my photos to make myself look taller because I was so worried that I portrayed this tall girl, but actually, yeah, I wasn't tall enough in person. It was really strange. And that was in my head. So then I'd be really worried when people met me in real life and gone, she doesn't actually look like that. And then it was this vicious cycle of, well, okay, well, they're looking at me and looking down on me when they meet me in real life. So therefore I have to portray this more, I don't know, idealistic view of myself online. And I look back and that's really sad, but I am glad I went through that. And I'm glad at 25, I'm now at the other end where I can just go, right, I mean, this is me. I've tried to change myself in every single extreme way. I did bikini competition because I thought for me, that would be validation of me as a human. Absolutely not. I stepped on that stage for one time and one time only for 20 seconds. And all I was judged on was my body. And I just... It was so soul-destroying that actually these four judges who had no idea who I was as a person, my 23 years before me stepping on stage, and there they are. The feedback was she was too big for her category, and I was tiny. And I've never been that size. For me, as I'm at my healthiest size where I'm so happy and I'm like, you know what? This is my home. I want to look after my body for the rest of my life. And I want to be running around when I'm 50, 60 with my grandchildren going, I've got energy to do this. And I'm so happy because I've looked after my body now.
But that's amazing that you're only 25. And I'm nearly bloody 40 and I'm still sort of going, right, well, how does this work? Because I think it is confusing with the internet or not. You know, we grew up, like you say, with all those magazines that we're reading, and I still love a good magazine now. And and nothing really has changed there. We're still looking at this sort of perfect ideal of what a female is. And I think that does lead to that sort of self-flagellation, beating ourselves up constantly about things and, you know, thinking, oh, if I was more like this, I would feel like this, which is, of course, we all know that's intellectually, we know that's bollocks, but we still emotionally get drawn into it and think we need to be different and we need to change. And I'm curious as to how you made that switch. Was it literally overnight you thought, I'm not going to talk badly to myself anymore? Or did that take time?
It's definitely taken time. It's been such a process. And like you said, I'm still learning. I'm definitely not perfect. I mean, by any means. But I think the way that I talk to myself is the way that I would talk to my best friend or someone that I really look up to, or my mum. And I constantly am like, you look gorgeous, you're phenomenal. I use all these positive words to my best friends, and I always have been so in awe of female bodies. And then it was about a year ago, and I was like, why am I calling my best friends this? And in the photos going, oh yeah, you look amazing, like girl hype. But then actually in my photos, deleting them because I was so embarrassed if anyone ever saw these photos of me looking in my head not how I should
look. We're so horrible to ourselves.
Exactly. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start introducing kinder words and going, actually, yeah, if you're calling your best friend, you're saying she looks amazing in her trousers or her jeans or whatever, I'm going to look in the mirror and go, actually, no, you don't. It's so difficult for me to say to people that are still back there where I was 2 years ago, because they're going, oh, that's easier said than done. You could be like, oh.
It's just a discipline then, a practice. Like every day you keep saying, you know what? You look great. Or even, you are great. You are enough. You are a good person. You did good today. Is it just like you keep saying it every day and then it becomes habitual?
It does. Yeah. You just have to train your mind, I think. And it does take time every single day going. I mean, there's one day, there could be a day where I try on an outfit and I'm like, oh, I hate that. And then I keep on trying on. And then I go back to the first one because I'm like, why do you hate that? No, enjoy it. And sometimes it does take, I'm not materialistic. Like I've kind of given up the fake hair, the fake nails, like, and that bit, that extra bit that I thought would make me confident. And I've kind of stripped it back just to, this is me, and I've never had anything done, and I'm not against plastic surgery. If that's what makes you feel amazing, go for it. But I've never had anything done, and I think I'm just sitting in my body that I was given and that my mum and dad created, and actually just making best friends with it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm really scared that there are young women your age considering plastic surgery purely for vanity, not because they, you know, need it, or they've had an accident, or they have, a disfiguration that they want to sort out for their confidence. I completely understand that, obviously, but just for vanity, like having lips done, that really scares me that's a reality.
I know. And it happens. It's like, I feel like now, I mean, it's as easy as just going to buy chewing gum from the shop. It's like you just go, even my dentist, I went about 6 months ago and she was like, do you want anything else done?
Oh my God, the dentist?
I can't believe it. Yeah, now dentists are trained to do, because you're numb. I was shocked and I was like, are you saying,
oh,
do I need?
Oh my God.
And that, I think when it's said and you see all these people, like, I mean, I know friends that have had it done and you're like, oh, wait, should I? And you question it and then you go, no, because I think after surgery and after changing yourself, it's like editing on Instagram or people have these apps that completely disfigure your body or whatever. And I think it then makes you think even worse of yourself, because you're like, oh, I look incredible in that photo. I look incredible with lip fillers. But actually then you're like, after the lip fillers have dissolved or whatever happens, then you look back and you're like, oh my God, I look awful again. So I think it's that horrible vicious cycle.
It's so sad.
It's so scary.
And we've become so used to this image of the sort of stereotype of an Instagram selfie, which is, you know, full lips, a highlighted cheekbone, you know, big Bambi eyes. And if it's not that, then it's wrong, which is obviously bollocks. And, all of my heroes are people that have, you know, true eccentricities like David Bowie, Tilda Swinton, Beth Ditto. These are people that I massively look up to and think, I love every bit about you and how you do your business. And even if that isn't in a purely base, aesthetical, shallow way, to me, they look absolutely incredible. They emit positivity and courage. And I find it sad that that's being diluted or sort of, you know, dissipating now. So it's made way for this one image. And if you don't look like that, it's wrong. I love that you did this bizarre social experiment on Instagram. Can you tell us about that?
Of course. So it was, the message behind it was trolling is ugly, not you. We started off, it was just a photo of me, and someone would say something like, "Salty, your salty legs are fat, you need to be minus 10 kilograms. So away with the team and we'd doctor my legs. So we'd make them smaller, we made them taller, and then we'd go back and we'd post another photo on my stories with smaller legs. And then from that, straight away, I'd get something going, oh, your nose is huge and you look like you've got a beak. So then we'd make my nose smaller.
God,
and it was
almighty.
Just awful. It was just an amalgamation of all these nasty comments.
I love your, look at your lovely nose.
Thank
oh
you.
My God,
never
look
had
at
anyone
it.
Say.
It's so lovely.
And it makes me laugh. Like, I try to do it in the most lighthearted way, but addressing something that is serious. Mm. And so at the end of these 24 hours, and I said nothing about what I was doing. So people by the third one were going, Jessie, you don't need to edit your things. Stop trying to make them happy. And by the end of it, people were going, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. You're trolling the trolls. Like, you're actually telling them, you can say all this stuff and I'm going to create myself. But actually, if I looked like the way that you want me to, I'd look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was just so empowering for me to actually go, right, at the end of it, if you are getting trolled, if you are getting cyberbullied, this is where you get help. You are not alone. And I get it too. You get it too. No matter who you are, I think even from 10 followers on Instagram to a million, you are, and everything in between, you are going to get a horrible comment. And it might be from someone you know. It might be from a stranger. And it's okay. We just need to put in place a plan, and you need a support team if it's getting that aggressive. And it is so scary. From that, I then got death threats. I then got, hey, I got horrible,
what
horrible.
Do you mean? Why? Because you challenged them?
Because I challenged them and I'd stuck up for myself. And it was then like, okay, maybe I need to start putting in, like, I needed protection for just that week, because obviously I opened myself up and people don't like being told that they were wrong or their opinions were wrong. And they don't like people challenging them, because it's like they're like, oh God, well, oh, she's addressed it. And I think I never really gave trolls airtime before this, and no one knew that I was going through this, because a lot of the comments that I get under my photos, and they're negative, I will, like I said, just delete them, but then you never see the direct messages, and that's where a lot of the trolls hide away, and they're anonymous, or I don't know, they're too scared to write it on a post, but then they'll do it behind anyone's back and they'll slide into your DMs and say the worst thing. And the funniest thing, that so many of my comments, maybe where I'm, even silly things like, oh, she's got that awful eyeshadow on today, they'll send it to me thinking they've sent it to their best friend, and then I'll reply back going, thank you so much, I'll do a makeup tutorial. Honestly, I try to do it really lighthearted. One girl was like, oh God, those jeans do not fit her. So I went, oh, thank you so much, I can send them to you if they'll fit you better. And then they go, I'm so sorry, that was for my best friend, I'm so sorry you've seen it. And I'm like, don't
but
worry.
That's it. When they realize you are a human being with human emotions who will read those words, they, 9 times out of 10, I'm imagining, will backtrack and go, I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very well me sat here going, oh yeah, you know, sometimes I feel affected and you know, yourself as a grown woman, you can process it and go, yes, I understand how this works and these people aren't very happy and I'm not going to let it affect my self-worth. There are, of course, lots of much younger people where this is just straight up bullying. And, you know, I was bullied at school. It's horrible. But this is bullying on a whole other level. And it can be very public. And it can, I'm sure, feel very, very alienating. You know, how on earth do we tackle that? Is this, again, about going into schools and talking to children about how reaching out to other people if they feel alone or alienated or in trouble in this way?
I think we just approach it at all different angles, from a young age and educating them in schools and hopefully teachers understanding how important it is. And social media is not going away. I mean, Instagram, I mean, it's growing and growing. I wanted to take myself off it last year because of the comments. And like you, I do have times without it. But it's approaching it and going, right, let's educate them from a young age at school. Let's also make sure that their parents understand that it is scary and it can be so destructive, these messages. And also saying, right, how are you going to help them? I think my parents, when I first got the messages, even back when I first got the trolled about 2 years ago, my parents at 23, they were like, that my parents weren't 23, I was 23, they were like, oh, and they immediately like, what can we do to help? Because it's still new to parents, isn't it?
It's still new to all of us. We're still figuring it out, aren't we? There's no specific rule book on how to deal with any of this.
No.
Especially for teenagers, they're just trying to survive in that, you know, environment for a lot of their day, without any guidelines or real support, I guess. So. Yeah. That's why it's just brilliant you're doing what you're doing, because you're going, look, there is another way. You don't have to pretend or be ashamed if people are being mean, calling you out on things that aren't, you know, deserving of such abuse.
So exactly. And like you said, at school, you can be bullied at school, but back then we didn't then come home and we were on our phones getting bullied on our phones. You had a safe place at home, but now it's so...
There's no escape.
Yeah. And I think... So I think... My things would be to just talk about it. Even no matter what age you are, someone is going to listen and someone's going to go, look, if I can't help you, I know someone that will help you. And if it is getting to the point where it's constant and you're deleting them and then they're coming up with an anonymous name that you know it's them and they're just coming at you at all different angles, just sit down and write it all down. Write these horrible comments down. And I just do this because I'm very visual and I just like it. So I write them all down and then I just scribble them out. And I'm like, you know what?
That's nice.
I've just scribbled them out and they're gone. They are gone. One of my friends taught me something really interesting when I was going through it. And she's quite spiritual. And you know those little tea light candles? She said, right, light a tea light candle and sit there. And I just love yoga like you. My mum's a yoga teacher. So I'm very much like, I'm very happy to just sit and watch a candle. And she said, speak at the candle and say all the nasty things you've been called and talk to the candle, talk to the little flame. And it sounds really silly, but it was so nice just sitting there and talking to it. And then you basically let it, and you can go and leave the candle, make sure that it's safe. You go leave the candle and come back to it when it's died out. And once it's died out, it's burned out and it's gone. And you've actually spoken about it. And as much as I can speak to someone else that's on social media and say, look, this is what's happened, it's horrible, they might not understand actually what's going through it. So you have to just kind of sit with yourself. And that really helped me. So something like that, and find something that will actually make you feel like you've addressed it, instead of holding it in and going, oh my God, it's building up. And then it affects you in everything. I mean, even young girls that I used to teach at a school, and even when I was 18, young girls were coming to me, and it was Facebook at that time. So everyone's going, oh, a young girl came to me and said, everyone's created this page about me and I've seen it. And it's
horrible. It breaks my heart. I can't bear it.
It's so sad. And I said to her, right, we're going to use social media, if you're going to use it at all, because I didn't want to just take it away from her at all. And I think that's so difficult, because parents just want to take the phone away, don't they? Because they want to protect them. But that's, I don't think, going to help.
Yeah, you become like a social pariah then. It's cold turkey. Yeah.
Exactly. So I said, right, let's not use social media for that. Let's try and unsee. It's hard to unsee, but let's just put that into a little category that we're not going to touch for a while. And let's just say, social media can be used, obviously, like you said, as this positive platform. You can take away all the negativity. You just have the choice. You have the power. What do you love doing? And she was like, I love drawing. So I was like, amazing. Let's get you a Facebook page let's say now Instagram, of it can be anonymous, and let's draw photos or draw whatever and put them on your page. And you're using it as like, I don't know, use it as like a business tool, even at 17, 18. And you don't have to show your name. You're just sharing things that make you so happy.
And also you're providing worth in something that isn't the aesthetic. It's going, you are brilliant at drawing. Let's celebrate that.
Exactly.
And it's also because I love what you're doing with body confidence. And I think we all need to feel that anyway, or work towards it. But also using these platforms to show our worth in other areas. It hasn't got to be a skill like drawing, but I guess it could be like, I have great compassion for others and this is how, or it could just be, you know, things you've seen that you think hold a beauty about them. And it's not a person, it's, you know, something else that you think will give other people joy or comfort. But also I think it is really about moving the focus, because obviously Instagram is visual and it becomes a lot about the visual of the person. But I guess moving focus onto what are you good at? What do you like? What do you see as your worth? And that's what I've certainly tried to do over the years, is not see my worth in what I look like, but my worth in, you know, I like talking and I like listening and I like having chats and I love learning. And that's where I see my self-worth, is there, and not over here, you know, look at me in a dress that I don't own. And I think it's that shift of focus a bit as well, isn't it?
Definitely. I love that. And I towards the end of last year felt so unfulfilled with social media, I feel like my job as a presenter was kind of merging into this social media role, that it, no matter what brand was contacting me, they were going, right, we want you to present on social media. And I was going, I want to, like you said, I want to do it face to face, I want to listen, and I want to have chats with real people in real life. And I just felt a little bit like my batteries were just empty, because I'd given so much to brands. And I was like, you know what, over Christmas I completely didn't touch my phone for 6 days, and it felt incredible. I did it over the summer as well, just a complete week without my phone. And I just thought, right, what makes me happy and what fills me with joy, like you said? And in my house we have a print wall, and I just like that, I took so much pride over it when we moved in, and we call it the nest. When we moved into the nest, Matt was like, I know exactly what you want to do with it. You just go and make it. Because he knew that all these positive affirmations and these little quotes that are on my wall, I look to every morning, and it just fills me with, yeah, I do. I've got this. And it was just so nice. I just sat and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take complete control of something and self-fund a business and go, I'm not an illustrator, I'm not a drawer, but I just sat down and I started scribbling, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And something as small as just creating something on paper and writing it down, I think our thumbs are so used to tapping away that actually even just writing on paper, like, I love
writing on paper.
I love seeing my like hand drawing. And I feel like even in schools, they've all got their laptops now. Whereas at school, I'd love writing down stuff.
Yeah, I do a little diary most nights. Yeah. I'll do a few lines of something and write it. And it's just something really cathartic and beautiful about that process of, yeah, there's no device. It's just me and a pen, and here we go. And it's a really beautiful thing to do. How comfortable in your body do you feel today?
I feel really comfortable. I feel like I haven't thought negatively about it at all today. And I just feel so happy that it's functioning.
It works.
Oh my God. I love even something small. Like, I cut my finger last week, and like 2 days later, I looked at it. I was like, wow, you've healed.
Yeah, we forget that it's really clever.
Yeah.
You can do stuff like that. We beat ourselves up the whole time.
I know. And you're like, wow. Like, it's so functional. Like, at the end of my fit workouts, I always say, like, hug your knees in and give yourself the biggest hug. Like, thank your body for what it just did. And I think even like, one of my best friends is a doctor, and she's like, she goes through like the anatomy of my body, and like even just thinking of it like that, I'm like, wow,
I know,
that's insane.
And how does fitness help you in life? You know, why are you working out? Because there will be people that straight up want to get a six pack, those days are gone for me after having two kids. Yeah. Those muscles don't exist. But I don't personally do it for that. I just want to feel mentally good. And exactly. I know that that ticks a box for some reason. What is your drive to work out?
I think for me, it's just this lovely feel-good cycle. Like you said, when I work out in the morning, whether it's yoga or just literally just doing a flow or like you did this morning, a fit class, a cardio, just getting my body moving, and afterwards I feel so happy, and in turn then I feel body confident, and then it goes back to, if I feel confident, I then I don't even need to go to the gym, I then go for a lovely walk, which makes me feel happy, and it's this really nice feeling of just, oh, I can do this and I'm in control. I don't go to the gym every day. I used to, and it was so sad. I used to get up, I'd go to the gym before work, I'd be in the gym at 5. Sometimes I'd be in tears on the treadmill. This is when I was training for a bikini competition. Then I'd go at lunchtime or after work. I'd go twice a day, every day. And that was because my mind was bullying my body. And now I'm at this lovely stage. I feel so happy and going, actually, you know what? I am just going to put on a fit class, or I am just going to go join my friends at a class at the gym. And something that I haven't done recently, and it's because I actually just completely cut it out because I was like, it's not making me happy, is going to the gym on my own and just lifting weights on my own. Because it got to this point where I was like, that doesn't serve me anymore. Just sitting with that feeling and going, have I booked in to see my best friends at a class? Yes. So I'm not going to cancel on them. We do it. We talk. We laugh the whole way through.
Making it fun.
It is fun. And people say, I don't like the gym. I'm like, you don't need to go to the gym to exercise. Go to a trampoline park. Go horse riding. Go ice skating. Like, do whatever makes you feel happy. Just move. And I think that's so lovely. And that's such an important message, that it's so accessible with things like Fit, just sitting in your kitchen, in your living room, going on holiday with your phone in your hotel room and going, I can just click a button and it's there. And choosing whatever classes make you feel amazing. So, yeah.
We've both had the endorphins going today, which is a lovely thing. So hopefully a good week ahead.
Definitely.
And thank you so much for your time, Chessie. And I really hope that your mission just keeps on going and that you recruit more people that are on board with what you're saying, because it's a lovely thing you're doing on social media, especially. So
thank you so much.
Good luck with the rest of it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chessie. What a star. So lovely talking to you. You can find out more of her wise words on Twitter and Instagram, where she's known as @ChessieKing. And that's it for season 2 of Happy Place. I can't believe it has just whizzed by. Let me know what you thought of the show. As we've documented today, I'm open to constructive criticism, and the guests that you've enjoyed too. Let me know who you've liked. Maybe even suggest a few that you'd like to hear in the future, because there will be more. Do that all on the Apple Podcasts app by leaving a review. And look, while you're there, check out our back catalogue. Oh my goodness, there's so many available for free in all its glory. You can also find it at Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher and more. Thank you again to Chessie, to the producer Matt Hill at Rethink Audio. Thank you, Matt. And for you, lovely, brilliant people, for listening. I cannot thank you enough, because you keep listening and that means I get to keep making more. So thank you. I'll see you really soon. Loads of love.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.